You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down, last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Open your action.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors. Will you let this be taken away from you? No, sorry. No way.
You must go seize the moment.
It's going to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis football. I am honored.
When you hit the door, you're a Ben Davis Giant.
This is Ben Davis. We're coming.
And welcome back here, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football. I am here with my co-host, Garrett Burkle, and we have special team and linebacker coach, Coach Banks, man. How you doing today?
What's up, brother? Outstanding. Feeling great. Glad to be here with everybody.
We're glad to be here with you. No Coach Ben for us this week, ladies and gentlemen, but we hope and pretty sure he'll be back next week. So, coming off, Ben Davis is off a win against Carmel, 45-16 here. You guys had a really good game defensively and offensively. You know, how you think the game went down for you guys?
They did some good things early. We kind of had them outmatched a little bit physically just with some of the speed that we had. So they decided, you know, they slowed the game down a little bit, did some things early. They ran 13 plays in the first half. So they were snapping it, you know, late in the play clock, trying to keep it close. And we were able to turn, you know, force some turnovers and do things like that. And did some good things in the second half and pulled away. So like we were hoping and planning to do.
Coach, you guys, you know, how do you think your linebackers and then your special teams did, you know, on Friday?
Great. I think that they played really well. We're fortunate at the linebacker position. We have three seniors leading us. So, you know, Nylon, Reek, and Drew are our guys. And even with Nylon out, we've got guys stepping in. Braylon Metcalf has been playing big-time minutes for us. So those guys did really well. Special teams-wise, man, I'm not going to lie to you. Keep it all the way a buck. We needed that on Friday. 100% needed it. We'd had some struggles, especially on kickoff the previous 2 weeks. And I challenged the guys. I put some new young guys on there. And we, you know, we as a staff wanted to improve there. So we, you know, it was big for us to have a big night there.
Coach, I want to talk about one of the parts of the games that was really outstanding for you guys. You guys had a lot of tackles for loss. I mean, you had players like Jarquez Rondos with two tackles. I mean, Drew Evans with two tackles for loss. A lot of players out there was getting behind that offensive line against Carmel.
Yeah. All credit there to Russ Sumner and the scheme, for starters. Coach Sumner is one of the best coaches I've ever been around. Outstanding D coordinator. I was just telling him today, I think that dude dials up pressures better than anybody I've been around. So hats off to him first for putting together that type of game plan and the other defensive coaches. But yeah, we've got kids that can make plays. There's no question. We got a lot of guys through Coach Vanderbush in the strength program that are strong, they're fast, they're going to be able to create lots of big plays for us, lots of what we call havoc plays. And we were able to do that on Friday and take advantage of our speed and strength.
Coach, you guys got stopped early on fourth down twice earlier on in the game, and then from there on the offense was almost perfect. What do you think the offense kind of did to step up there after those two missed fourth down conversions earlier on in the game?
Yeah, it was just miscues. That's all it was, just some basic miscues for the offense. And again, Coach Small, Coach Ferris, all of those guys over there are outstanding. So, you know, we weren't panicking by any means. Just a couple of miscues early. And, of course, those guys are going to make halftime adjustments like they did. And then we come out and do what, you know, you saw the end result there. So I firmly believe that we have the best coaching staff in the state of Indiana. I'll stand by that. We've got guys that plan really well and do an outstanding job. So, you know, we were excited about the second half, obviously.
Coach, I want to talk about one of my favorite plays from last week. I want to talk about a touchdown pass from Isaiah Rogers to Michael Searcy. Great play right there, 26-yard touchdown. I mean, it's preparing Isaiah Rogers for either just anything happens if Gawkowski goes out and preparing for next season for him. So, you know, break it down what's going on with them a little bit so far
Yeah, you mean as far as on the play or just in general?
Yeah, play in general.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Zay is – first of all, I love Zay. See him every day. I love all these kids. I mean, I'm a BD guy myself. So I just really love our kids. But Zay, I just want to speak before I talk about that play on him. Zay Rogers is the epitome of a great teammate. He has a guy, a senior in front of him, a guy that's playing big minutes and stuff like that. But you see what happens when he steps in, fires a touchdown pass right away. Seriously, he's got great speed. The dude coming off an ACL injury from last year, starting to get his feet under him and all that. So the play itself, it was great. And it was great seeing Zay put that touch on the ball, see Seriously go up a little bit. But just as far as the kids in general, I think that outweighs the play itself because especially, man, Zay is – I can't say enough about that kid as a teammate right now. He's doing a lot of great things for us. He was a scout team quarterback today. What team in the state would have a better scout team quarterback than that dude? I dare you to tell me. I don't know any. So the dude is taking his role seriously, and I love him for that.
Coach, kind of a fun question, but you had three of your own guys out there for a prom homecoming Prince.
You bet I did.
And obviously, Reek came away with it in the end, and Evans and Brown were right there to congratulate him after. You know, just how kind of cool is it to be a coach and have, you know, that honor to have three of them up for, you know, such a special award, all three in their senior years?
It's great, but I had to make sure to remind them that the Riz comes from Coach Spinks. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean, the Riz is flowing out of my body all the time. So, you know, they can't help but take in, you know, all that Riz and all that knowledge. So, you know, we come over coaching them up, and then now all of a sudden all three of them are on the homecoming court. I take great pride in those three for doing that. That's awesome.
I want to kind of follow up with that question, Coach Spanks. Me and Garrett was talking about 2 weeks ago, about Tariq and Nyland and Drew Evans, you know, all becoming homecoming king. And I'm like, you know, I was talking to Drew, and he was like, you guys should, like, do a tackle off. Whoever get the most tackles on that game should become homecoming king.
That's actually forward thinking. I'm a big fan of that. Like, that would have been the ideal situation. Whoever made the most plays in the game gets to become the homecoming king. They should have did it after the game. That's a great idea.
They should have did it, but sadly, Nyland didn't play. So it
yeah,
wouldn't be
so
fair.
Nyland would have been disqualified, though. But just in fairness, then it would have come down to Reek and come down to Drew. I'm with that. I don't have the stat sheet. You might have. Do you have it pulled up?
I have the stat sheet
pulled up. So then who should have been the homecoming king? Let's see it.
Homecoming king, I'm looking at Drew Evans. He has 7 tackles in total. And for Oyesigi, he had 5. So it should have been
Drew. See, we should have had it flipped around. Make sure, I hope Drew's listening so that he can tell Reek all about that. I'll make sure to remind him because that's the way that should have went. I agree with you.
Oh, we'll let him know. For sure. But, you know, just how kind of big have, you know, all three of those guys been throughout the year, you know, especially, you know, getting to the quarterback as well. You know, linebackers, they tend to get to the quarterback, you know, quite a lot. But, these guys are doing it at alarming, you know, paces this season. You know, just how important is it to have guys like that, you know, that can go rush the quarterback as well?
It's infinitely important. When you've got, again, going back to that, when you've got guys that can do what our guys can do, you're going to put yourself in positions to win games. And, you know, Coach Delahan always told us back when I played here, you know, mental is to physical, is 3 is to 1. So we have guys that are mentally strong too. They're not, these dudes are physically strong. They're fast. They're tough. I love them. But these guys also have the mental game down. And that's where I think the difference is. They can make changes on the fly and do things that allow them to get to the quarterback, obviously taking advantage of their physical abilities too. So I can't say enough about these three guys. I love them. I literally go out on the field with a smile on my face every single day because I get to be around those guys and all my other guys too. All my linebackers, man, I love those guys. I just love them so much, the position group. So, and really all of our guys, again, just want to drive that home too.
Coach, the Giants just won the 525th game all time on Friday, last Friday, and they tied the series up against Carmel 25. So what does this mean to you as a Ben Davis football alumni?
I'm going to put – hold on. Let me go through my brain and get nice words about Carmel. okay, nope, not that one. No, not that one. Good. I feel real good about it because anytime that we can beat Carmel, obviously around here, we're big fans of that, and we've been rivals with them for a long time. It's seriously all respect to the Carmel Greyhounds. That's a class program, and they do a great job. But anytime that we can beat those guys, we know that we're doing something right because they're always well coached. But it means a lot, not going to lie to you.
Coach, it looked like for a little bit there after the touchdown drive,
yeah,
and then after the field goal and then into half, it looked like the offense kind of went on a dry streak there for just a little bit, and then Gutkowski found Mark Zachary for a 65-yard touchdown, and again, the momentum of the game totally switched up after that. What do you think the offense did to kind of step up in that situation?
Again, I think just taking advantage of some miscues on their defense. That's a great question. Our offense is extremely opportunistic, meaning that the guys are going to, we're going to take what you give us, which, you know, they were playing a light box, which, you know, they're going to have five guys between the tackles. So what did we do early on? To run the ball, right? So our guys are so good. I would hate to have to coach against our daggone offense. They are so good. But they are going to take exactly what you give them, and they're going to exploit you. And then eventually, as time goes on, they wear down. And then you hit a big play like we were able to do with Zach.
Continuing with that question, we see Gutkowski, he finds Zachary. He's finding the passing game, but he also put on the wheels on last week with 14 carries and 74 yards. I mean, that's big time for a quarterback,
yeah,
especially coming from Gutkowski, showing that he's also a dual threat on the football side.
Old Tommy G. Yeah, we love that guy, obviously. But, again, just another example of a guy that's going to do whatever it takes for this football program. You can ask the guy to do anything for us to win the game, and he's going to do it. So he started putting his head down, honking it up in there, and getting tough yards, which, as all of us coaches, your quarterback has to be that kind of guy. And if you got a guy like that, you got a chance to do something special, which we feel like we have. You know, nothing's going to be handed to us, but we feel like we got the chance to try to do that.
Coach, was there anything, you know, that you saw particular in Carmel's defense that, you know, made you go with Gutkowski, you know, scrambling a little bit more last week?
It's tough for me to say on that because, you know, I'm a defensive coach,
right.
And I don't get to go over to the offensive side too much. Mm-hmm. And I usually stick to my lane with defensively, and then obviously the special teams as well. But again, I mean, our guys are the best at adjustments, man. I'm telling you, all those guys are going to make the key adjustments, and, you know, you can stifle us for a bit, but eventually they're going to find something that works.
Coach, I want to go on, talk about going on to the Cardinals offense. I mean, they really struggled in the passing game. I mean, yeah, 18 attempts and only 9 completion. You guys really forced through that defensive line. And then they came out, showed a little bit with a running game, you know, leading rusher with 81 yards and under 10 carries. So that's pretty good for them. But you guys really dominated and showed them. It's kind of like watching the Seahawks from Monday Night Football.
Man, that game was ugly, brother. Goodness gracious. Yeah. Yeah. No, shoot, man. Our defense, going back to Coach Sumner and the game planning and everything that all the guys put together, all of the coaches, I feel like I'm surrounded. You know, the old saying is, if you're in a room and you're the smartest guy in the room, you're in the wrong room. You know what I'm saying? So I'm a guy, when I sit in that room, I know I'm in the right room because I'm definitely not the smartest guy in that room. I look around, these dudes are sharp, and they know what they're doing. And then ourselves just in total as a staff putting in that time on Sunday, watching film. Coach Sumner is going to figure something out, I promise you. So, again, just another great game plan. And, yeah, it was a fun night on defense. We gave up a little bit too much in the run game. We didn't like that. You know, the long run there kind of late. We didn't like that run, but there's some things that we could definitely clean up.
Indeed, Coach. So we're going to take here a 30-second break here on Inside Ben Davis Football. I'm Elijah Innes, your host, with Garrett Burkle and Coach Banks, and we're going to be right back here, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks to Chuck Baer of eXp Realty for his support. Chuck Baer with eXp Realty offers services such as analysis of your home's value, a marketing plan, and knowledge of the market. Serving central Indiana counties, Chuck Baer of eXp Realty can be reached at 317-698-3339. Online at exprealty.com. Thank you again to Chuck Baer of eXp Realty for his support.
Now back to Inside Ben Davis Football, presented by Baer Realtor.
And welcome back here on Inside Ben Davis Football. I'm your host, Elijah Ennis, with my co-host, Gary Burkle, and Coach Banks over here. And we're going to head on to our second segment, ladies and gentlemen, where we're going to talk about Lawrence Central, who's 3-4 right now, coming off not on the best performance, but are 2-2 in the mix. So, Coach, coming into this, another mid game. I mean, you guys win this. I think it's going to be a big part on the MIG championship. So how you guys feeling?
We feel good. Not going to lie to you, LC's solid. You know what I mean? There'll be a lot of people. We try to ignore the noise and block all that out because there's going to be a lot of people that, oh, well, you know, we're just going to walk in. I'm telling y'all right now, LC is dangerous. They have one of the fastest players that I think I've ever seen in my life on their football team. Duff, number one. He is tough. He's a tough kid. They've got multiple guys that can make plays. The quarterback can make plays. We feel good, but we cannot in any way, shape, or form overlook those guys. And, you know, a MIC conference championship, you know, as a player here, and the belief was always conference championships always are a byproduct of winning a state championship, right? So if we continue doing things right, we feel that we can button that up and move on. And it's a great thing, but, you know, we need to keep eyes on the ultimate prize as well.
Coach, last year you guys got down 28-0 to the same team, mm-hmm, before having a monsters comeback, obviously the 5-touchdown comeback, you know, to beat them 35-28 last year. What can you guys do differently, you know, not to start off as, you know, I guess badly as you guys did last year?
Yeah. I mean, going back, it was a slow start. You know what I mean? It was just a slow start. And, you know, something that I like to preach to the linebackers is you can't ease into a street fight. Every single game, that's a street fight. You got to get out, put your knuckles up, start the fight. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So get out, start the fight. We didn't. We walked in. We kind of took a couple shots on the chin. We got up off the mat, though, and took it back to them. So what can we do? Not sleepwalk into the start of the game, I think, is a key. You know what I mean? Never ease into a street fight. Every game in the MIC conference is a doggone street fight. So if you go in there and ease into it, you're going to get your mouth bloodied up, get your nose broken. So we got to come out off the bus, hit them in the mouth first. We can't wait. All right? This is not a fight.
I'm going to wait, and I'm going to throw the second punch.
No, you need to get out right now, throw a daggone punch, and knock somebody out.
Yes, sir. And Coach, coming in with Lawrence, I mean, they came off a big win against North Central, 49-20. I mean, it's incredible. I mean, they have two running backs in the backfield, over 120 yards. I mean, it's really insane. I want to go deep through that. Coming against this Ben Davis defense, I know you guys struggled against the run game against Warren, and then at the beginning of that Moeller game, it was just, man, it was craziness.
It was just play one. I want to point that out. Only play one. Yeah, he got hemmed up after that.
He definitely did.
Doggone Ohio football. You know, all of us here, we were proud of that. So we're winning that one. But
and then you came against IMG and you stopped their run game too easily. But coming against this team, it looked like it's going to be a hectic because they have two great running backs in the backfield. But you guys have a diversity also.
Yeah.
So what's going to be the game plan coming throughout this?
Well, the game plan, obviously, just in case one of the Bears just happened to be listening to the WBDG program here, ran by the great Mr. Easter, by the way, who's been a great man here for a long time. But game plan, we have to try to offset their speed as best as we can. They are really, really fast. They run outstanding routes. They are looking for big plays. These dudes can score points. They lost a game 59-58 to Westfield. These guys can score. They can score points, and they can do it very, very, very quickly. So the biggest thing is reading keys, limiting big plays, I think. Limiting big plays is going to be the biggest key. If we're giving up chunk plays, then that's not what we're looking to do. We have to try to limit those as much as we can. If we can do that, we're going to put our offense in a position to keep getting on the field, and then we'll have some success.
Coach, you know, you might not be able to answer this one fully for me, but do you have an status on what Nyland Brown, you know, what his status is this week?
I don't, buddy. What we've got from now, it's a good question. It's a fair question. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, obviously I see him twice a day, sometimes three times a day, always checking on him. The pain is subsiding, I could tell you that. So it's going to be a situation where that young man will be back eventually. So and when he comes back, I would not want to be on the other side of the ball when Nyland Brown comes back.
Right on. Coach, coming in, we see that the offense is stepping up mainly. I mean, Thomas Gutkowski, he struggled a little bit through about that week three coming against IMG, but he stepped it up. Completion percentage got better, throwing more touchdown. Got close to the touchdown record.
Yeah.
Very close. We asked Coach Smith.
He did tie it?
He tied
it. Who had it originally?
That was Taylor.
It was Reese. Okay, that's what I thought it was. Yeah, Reese Taylor. That's what I thought.
Sorry, folks. Bad radio off mic.
No problem.
He's tying the record. I mean, he's really out here having a monster season. I mean, do you think he's really gonna, you know, bring this team to the destiny that you guys want?
Absolutely. I can't think of anyone else that I would want leading my team and my offense. You know, if you look at it on the offensive side and you're saying, my guy, right? This is the guy. That's our guy, guys. I mean, I've been a coach for a long time, and I've been around a lot of players. The leadership qualities that Tommy possesses, I literally can't put it into terms. You'd have to be up there and out there on the field with this kid to listen to him. And I can't think of anybody else I want leading us to the promised land and to reach our ultimate goal.
Coach, what can your linebacker core and what can the defense do this week to, you know, shut down this LC offense?
Yeah. Excuse me. Oh, you're okay. Again, limiting big plays. We have to keep the football in front of us, rally, and tackle well. I mean, that's something else. And I think tackling, we've done a really solid job of tackling. There's not a ton of missed tackles. And again, kudos to Coach Sumner and what we do in practice there. What we do as far as circuit work and all that kind of training and whatnot. But we tackle well. We fly around to the football, force turnovers, which, golly, we've been forcing a lot of turnovers. So when we do that, we're going to be okay. We'll be in business.
A lot of forced fumbles, a lot of interceptions.
No doubt.
Two interceptions by Alvin Contreras. Big.
I know.
Mr. E?
I got a question for you, Coach. Yes, I feel like you're eminently qualified to answer a question like this because you are a state champion.
Yes, sir.
You won this. We're on the 99 team, which still is one of the most thrilling moments in Ben Davis football history when Damon Fine hit the 56-yard field goal.
Yes, sir.
Which really was kind of a rare thing that you would even try a 56-yard field goal back on a cold night on a grass field, blah, blah, blah. But Damon nailed that. You were on that. Your brother was on the 2001 team, one of the finest teams to ever play here. You played with a guy named James Banks.
Sure did.
Your brother played with a guy named James Banks.
That's right.
As well. So where does – because when you look at numbers, which we like to look at numbers and comparisons, this team compares favorably with some of those teams that they compare very favorably with the national championship team, at least with offensive numbers. They compare favorably with the 2017 team, which, you know, a lot of people think was one of the greatest teams to ever step on the field.
Great team.
In that category too. That team was it was never a question of whether or not they were going to win. It was going to be how much are they going to win by.
Right.
I think they're still scoring on pin right now from the state game. But again, I know the final exam hasn't been given yet,
right,
but you played with some great players. How do the players on this team maybe compare from a leadership standpoint, from maybe a quality standpoint, to some of those players you played with when you were a football player here at Ben Davis?
That's a doggone great question. Well, as far as the 99 team, you know, I told the position group guys, I was so jealous of them for having the opportunity to play a team like IMG, because we felt in 1999 we could beat anybody. Play the daggone game on concrete, it doesn't matter.
But that team kind of got off to a slow start.
Oh, God, we couldn't score.
I think it was the Lawrence North game. You guys were down at the half.
Yeah.
And then something clicked
I think it was 9-0.
Yeah. I think he came back, scored 20 unanswered, something like that.
20-9.
Why do I remember these things? Because I can't remember my name sometimes. But
I can't believe you remember that. Yeah, but
I wasn't
even
born yet, man. Hey,
man, hold on.
These guys are like,
I wasn't even listening to you guys, you knuckleheads. I feel
older
and older.
It's nice to be able to have somebody that we can talk like old Ben Davis history with here. Not that old. We got people who probably listen and can talk.
Oh, no doubt.
Bob Wilbur days here.
Oh gosh, yeah, I can't do that. But I can tell you right now, I feel that our team from 1999 was incredible, defensively especially. And James was a pup. James was a sophomore. It took him a minute to kind of get going. You know what I mean? But once he did, good night. It was over. This team, the leadership, they are deeper than we were. you know, as far as our offensive line, I'm proud of our guys. I love my guys, Andrew Robinson, Tim Dowd, Gibby, Mac, Vernon, all these guys. This offensive line has got more ability. They're a little more athletic. Tommy can spin that ball. So as far as matching up, I'd say the matchup, it's very, very similar. The leadership, though, Mr. Easter, man, this I've never seen anything like this, brother. I'm telling you right now, I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, and I kind of feel that, too, because, you know, we see Drew, we see Nylon in the hallways. You see some of the other players. Kenny G is a younger guy,
yeah,
another leader for you. Tommy G, we were saying he kind of acts like he's about 40 years old already, and you know, I'm leaving out some other guys. That's what happens when you start naming them.
Yeah.
But I felt like that's a good question for you because you played on really we've seen so many great eras of Ben Davis,
yes,
football. You've had that 70s era where it just started to get going and kind of put a bug in Coach Dullahan's ear that,
mm-hmm,
maybe something's going to happen at Ben Davis. Maybe I need to get over there if I ever, yep, get an opportunity. And then when he comes in, does what he did early.
Yeah.
Didn't really have a lull. I mean, semi-states is not a lull.
No.
But then you had that, once again, late 90s, which you were a part of, early 2000s run, and then with Coach Kirshner a little bit later on.
Mm-hmm.
So you've kind of had these different eras of Ben Davis football. I just thought that was an interesting question for you.
Absolutely.
Because I do kind of feel like you do. This team does remind me of a lot of those teams.
They do.
But I think there's the competition's a little different too right now.
I tell you what, everybody, one of the things that I remember really well when Coach Vanderbush was running our football teams through things in the summer, there were always coaches there with clipboards taking notes, right? Oh gosh, what's the secret? What are they doing? What's in the sauce at Ben Davis High School? And Coach Vanderbush would let them come out and they'd stand and they'd, you know, we were always thought it was kind of weird because I'm sitting here jumping around doing my plyometrics and stuff and guys are taking notes. The thing is, everybody did figure things out eventually and everyone is starting to do things similarly. You know what I mean? So football as a whole, and really this is a kind of a weird thing, I kind of credit Peyton Manning a little bit, because you know, initially it was Reggie Miller, basketball. When Peyton Manning comes along, now kids are playing football, and we have got more kids playing football, and we've got a lot of kids in this state that are playing really good football that are just being physical freaks. So yeah, I mean, at the competition level, it is a little bit different. I'll say that.
I'm sorry to jump in on you guys. You guys were doing a great job, but now I had the juices flowing.
You came in with a great question.
I had the juices flowing. So you talk about 99, 2000, yeah, 2001, those teams that were so great. And even years before, I know you guys made semi-state.
Both
sophomore. 97, 98, mm-hmm, with Mark Scott, I think, was your quarterback.
Mark Scott one was year, sophomore, and then Joe Lineman was junior, yes, year. And junior year, I was a starter on the defensive tackle, but we ran into this
ran
guy.
Into
I don't
Rex,
know if you've ever heard of him. This Rex guy, Rex Grossman. Yeah, he was
back when the Bears player were really good.
Yeah.
Oh, oh wow.
Yeah.
I know, that's been a long time.
We ran into that guy. He was pretty good, but it was fun to go back the next year and beat him 38-0 in the same place.
I remember that. Yeah. That was a cold, rainy night.
It was about 10.
I got a story. It was cold.
Yeah.
I got a story I'll tell you off air, because I probably did something really stupid that night. I gotta tell it now.
I can't
just like leave that
right.
We went down there and Bloomington South put us on the roof of their press box. That was our broadcast position.
Guys, it's cold. Like it was 10
cold
degrees. It's like 10 or
so
12 degrees.
You guys had gone down there I think the year before and they'd twice thrown two snowballs
years. Yeah, throwing
there were snowballs yeah that got thrown and stuff. But anyway, we get up there and the only place to plug in the outlet is sitting in water.
What?
And guess what this idiot did? We had
plug
to plug
in.
Anyway,
got to plug in.
So I plugged in our cord while it was. I'm still here. So
I'm glad to see you. Yeah, your it worked. Laid must, down. I don't have any hair, so I appreciate your hair.
It must have been. It must have been well grounded. That's all I'm going to say, because that was probably one of the stupidest things I've ever done. That would have earned me the Purple Brick Award.
Yeah, you'd definitely.
Now can I
that
can I get it in?
Retroactive.
We didn't give it. Yeah, retroactive.
Yeah.
But I know we're at 8 o'clock, Coach. But
okay.
Question this: you've coached several years. You've coached small school ball, coached big school ball. When you look at players from 99, 2000, how does the physicality compare to 2023?
The speed is different. They're faster. There's no question. The way my mentality, you put any man in front of me, I squat however much weight from Coach Vanderbilt, we were going to run you over. it didn't matter. So physical, Coach Dullahan preached, if you don't hit, you sit. And that's the end of discussion.
You just hit somebody.
So physicality, you know, we could get physical. It's this era's speed. Their speed is different. They also don't wear shoulder pads that are the size of the state of Wyoming. So that helps. It helps immensely that we don't have that. So that's definitely a good thing. No question.
All right. Those were my questions.
Awesome.
Well, thank you, Mr. Easter, for coming in and pulling up with the great questions to Coach Banks. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are at the end of that time here. I mean, it's a great episode. Ah, man, with Coach Banks here, my co-host Garrett Burkle, and I'm your host Elijah Ennis. And Ben Davis will be preparing to be taking on Lawrence Central this Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Another MIC game preparing. This is will be determined the MIC championship in their conference for the Ben Davis Giants. So the Giants will take on Lawrence Central at 7 o'clock this Friday on the 13th, on the 6th, ladies and gentlemen. And on the call that night will be returning WBDG announcer Max Gilley, Landon Nelson, and Brody West. They're at 7 o'clock. And next Inside Ben Davis football episode will be at 12 o'clock Tuesday. 12 o'clock Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm here, Elijah Ennis, my co-host Garrett Burkle, and Coach Banks, and Mr. Easter, the great man himself. And we'll say goodnight to you, ladies and gentlemen.